Diabetes Breakthrough.
When can you remember us talking about snow of the 30-inch variety at the end of October in the United States? It's been a long time, hasn't it? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's part of the conversation for sure, because the East Coast was socked. It really was. When I say the East Coast, you know, we're talking about, if we're talking about New England, 30-plus inches in some of those nooks and crannies I'm fond of referring to, small towns, 5,500 people like Jasper, New Hampshire, they got a big dose of the white stuff, and it kind of stuck around. Here's what also happened. Some of it was wet and kind of went away in South Jersey, let's say, but they had flooding in their shoreline areas, terrible flooding, where you saw pumpkins that were floating down the street in a place called Wildwood Crest, New Jersey. In the meantime, Connecticut slammed 800,000 people without power. Could be a week before everybody gets their power back. 250 schools, at least, closed Monday, and maybe more than Monday. Not just Connecticut and Pennsylvania, hundreds and thousands of people without power. Same thing with northern New Jersey, and that includes boom, boom, out go the lights for the governor of that state, Chris Christie, who's in the dark, so to speak. So it was pretty bad because the snow knocks down the power lines quite frequently, especially when you're bombarded with ice and some other things. And that was what was so scary along 95, a pretty well-known highway that goes up and down the East Coast. You had 30 cars that slammed into each other, and three people were killed in that. Terrible. So this was pretty powerful. They're calling it a nor'easter, no doubt about it. And it just depended on where you lived as to how much snow that you got. Certainly in and out of New York there were problems. 17 planes from Newark and JFK combined had to be diverted to Hartford, Connecticut. Then there were problems there trying to get the people off one flight. They sat on the tarmac for 9 hours. They were given vouchers and a round-trip flight, but they sat on that plane, no water, drinks of any sort, snacks, anything, and no bathroom, because the bathrooms were out. So there were some upset people by the time they finally were towed to the gate, and it was really a freak snowstorm. Most of the weather people predicted there might be some snow, but we're talking about a lot of it not sticking, but that icy rain and snow is absolutely going to go down in the books as a historic freak snow because of how much snow affected the power and how much it affected the other places as well with the amount that started to stack up. In fact, our own George Russell, who does a talk radio news segment here on America Tonight a couple of times during the week, he's in Nashua, New Hampshire. His power is completely out. Just a terrible storm there in most parts of New Hampshire. They got really socked. So did Massachusetts. It was so bad in Massachusetts that an Amtrak train had to worry about a rock slide, so they were stopped. They had to wait 13 hours before buses could get about 48 people out of the train and off to their destinations. But they had heat and electricity and food and water. So it's a little bit better, actually, than the JetBlue situation for a lot of those people. And Halloween might be canceled in some areas because you don't have power. So how do you trick-or-treat up and down streets where they don't have any power? It's going to be tough in some of those Connecticut neighborhoods and some of those northern New Jersey neighborhoods as well. The Occupy movement in Wall Street, that's where they are in New York, that's where it all started. They say that they expect some terrible weather over the course of the winter, and now what they're dealing with, the cool temperatures and the snow and the sleet and all that sort of stuff, they can deal with it because they're going to stay put. They are starting to get organized. Take a listen.
There are definitely a lot of people who plan to be here all winter, and I think it could happen because we're getting
pretty well organized.
Go through where we went, David.
How about that? So pretty well organized. Little rain is and snow is not going to chase them off. But here's what I would say. Is the intention to be there all the way through the election? And if he's saying they're starting to get organized, at what point do they truly organize into, I'll call it an official movement? And what is an official movement? It's one where you're paying attention. Like the Tea Party, whether you hate the Tea Party, love the Tea Party, embrace the ideas of the Tea Party, think that the Tea Party is unfairly labeled in some cases, whatever your thoughts are about it, you're talking about them. It was grassroots. Sprung up really outside of D.C. Started to spread. Different people started to meet. Caught a little bit of attention. Next thing you know, it was full-blown and affected the midterm elections because you can't say they didn't have any sway in what happened in the midterm elections. Will the Occupy movement have sway in the elections? I don't think so. I don't think that by the end of the summer heading in to November, the Occupy movement will be that kind of a movement. I don't think so. But I've been known to be wrong a time or two. Just ask me about some of my sports guesses when we try to nail the score. But I think I'm right on this one. We'll see. Are they really that much more organized? But what a nightmare for all the people, many of our listeners, in the dark because they're buried under snow and the power lines and trees. It's the trees, really. When the trees go down with the wind and everything else, that's when it gets nasty. And I mentioned the Occupy movement and how you heard how they're going to hang around the winter and they feel like they're really getting their act together. Every week, it's some place, sometimes the usual, New York or Chicago, but in Oregon, police arrested 30 Occupy protesters. A lot of times what's happening is wherever it is they're organizing, they're asked to leave so they can clean the area, that kind of stuff, and they won't do it. In this case, they dragged people to vans because they refused to leave a park in a very affluent area. So those arrests came after protesters from Occupy Portland just would not go. They dug in and they wouldn't do it. There was a midnight curfew and they wouldn't leave. So police came in around, they were yelling things and protesting or whatever. So they came in around 2 a.m. and some of the protesters backed off, but, you know, 30 or so sat in the circle and wouldn't leave. So that's what they were going to do. They didn't have any violence or tear gas or any of that kind of stuff. It was mostly people in their 20s. And 30. Some had Halloween masks on. They handcuffed them and took them out, and that was all she wrote. So they were gone. And this district where they are, it's called the Pearl District. And the people, I mean, here at least they're going to where they're protesting. They're not protesting downtown somewhere. They're in the wealthy demographic saying, you know, you're the 1%, we're the 99%. So they're bugging the people. They're bugging the people who want to go and use the park, who want to ride their bicycles around and do all that kind of stuff. It's an inconvenience. So I'll be curious to see, at least in Oregon, how long that lasts. I think a lot of people will get upset and they will call and complain. I think they already are, and we'll see. But they're taking it to the people that they're saying are screwing with the American people, at least, so they're not just in front of some buildings. Hang with us. We can count next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation.
Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What's been the problem with phone companies? High prices and contracts that lock you in for 2 years minimum. Not FreedomTelephones.com. Freedom Telephones are designed around the concept and reality of patriotism, loyalty, and privacy. With FreedomTelephones.com, there are no contracts, no credit checks, and no social security numbers required. That's why our name is FreedomTelephones.com. Finally, residential, mobile, and business telephones and plans that are private and never lock you into a long-term contract. Want a low price? Residential and business plans start at only $14.99, and mobile plans start at just $39.99. Plus, every month you pay your bill, FreedomTelephones.com contributes to your favorite GCN programs. Don't wait. Support the cause and get the highest quality and the lowest prices by calling 1-800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553. FreedomTelephones.com. Portable. Private. Perfect.
Another edition of Weekend Counts. For fun, topping it this time, I thought we'd go light in the beginning. A lot of you are movie fans. That's why we do our cheap movie reviews on Friday. After all, we can only rail about our useless politicians and the nonsense going on in the Middle East and the doom and gloom we all fear in the next couple of years for so long. But to celebrate our freedoms, we gotta kick back once in a while. Right? I don't know that Jay in Kentucky would go and see this movie, but guess what was number one at the box office? Let's see if you can guess. I'm going to let you hear a little snippet.
Those magic beings were my score. You just caused me a chance of getting the golden axe, mi amigo. Put up your dukes.
Puss in Boots, if you guess that. Give yourself a pat on the back. That's right, $35 million at the box office. How about that? Number one. You know, it's holiday time soon, shockingly. We've got November, and then there we are, December again, staring down the barrel of yet the end of another year. So that's a big movie time. A lot of movies, a lot of big-budget movies are pumped out, and you start to see the trailers for them when you go to see a movie and that kind of thing. Puss in Boots is probably released at the right time because it's the in-between time right before everything really kicks in. And the kid movies are popular. Grandparents taking kids to movies, parents taking kids to movies, kids going on Boy Scout, Girl Scout trips to movie theaters, and animated flicks rule. The 3D stuff, especially 3D, couldn't be bigger. I know that some people even have televisions where you do the 3D thing. I can't sit with a... I don't know about all of you. Seriously. Now I have to have special glasses to sit and watch TV. Oh, that's just too much for me. I don't know. That's where I'm going old school. I have seen the 3D movies, and it's okay. Like the IMAX movies, I've gone to see a few of those where the fish come right out in your face, and they look like you're going to bite your head off with the Amazon basin or whatever. But had to have every Pixar flick or whatever, to have everything coming at me, ugh. I don't know. It's buggy to me. It's buggy. And I don't want to sit in my living room and have the touchdowns fly out and have someone spike the ball and have it come up in my face. I don't know. You may enjoy that. And it's weird because a lot of what I do is definitely not old school, but there's one place where you're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming into the world of 3D because I don't get it. It gives me a headache after a while. All right, enough about Puss in Boots and moving on to money of a different sort. The dollar hits a record low against the yen in some early trading in Asia because, of course, the markets are open there. So Asian shares fell, took a little bit of a dip from the 10% rally last week after Europe laid out sort of a plan to tackle its debt crisis. When that happened, things really flipped around in a couple of different places. But if there's any kind of an economic indicator here, they've got the Federal Reserve's monetary policy meeting and U.S. economic data and all that kind of stuff. Jobs are due out this week. Oh, I can't wait. To gauge the state of our largest economy, and of course it always has an effect on the other markets. So for now, probably because of these meetings, it's what's happening is investors are going for some riskier assets at this point. So that's why you see the dollar down 0.2%. 0.2%. How about that? And that's in early, early morning openings. Because that can flip around and change a little bit. That's what I think. All right, let's move on to another we can count with numbers. This is crazy. Three people were arrested for stealing 1,700 pounds of nickel from a steel plant. And, of course, why? Because they would sell it and get serious money for it. It's kind of like the copper thing. You read about when people are building places and there's copper and the copper's stolen from it and they have to have somebody watch it. It's crazy. So in Pittsburgh, three men, they nailed them for trying to take money out of an Allegheny steel plant in Harrison Township. There was a 52-year-old involved and a 40-somethings. They've already been arraigned on this. And, you know, when they say inside job, one of the guys was a retired employee of the plant. One of the other guys was a current employee there. And the third worked for a trucking company so they could haul it out. The nickel was worth $150,000, and it ended up being sold to a plant in Terrell, Texas. So the bail for all of them has been set at $25,000, but they linked it together. Whatever they did, they dropped the ball enough that the red flags went up, especially with somebody working there. That's pretty risky. And they had to have known that's probably what happened. There's no way they could have gotten to this unless somebody had inside information. And then you just go through, I think, you know, the employee's file, if you will. I don't know if they can necessarily do that, but they can figure who's connected to who. And it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to say, oh, okay, he retired, I get it, uh-huh. It is Halloween. Are you going to dress up for Halloween? About 100 Halloween revelers, you could call them that, were in costumes. They got into a brawl early on Sunday, though, and a 27-year-old man had to be taken to the hospital in Hollywood, California. Wilcox Avenue is a pretty historic area on the boulevard. And tempers just started to flare. So paramedics came in they had to pull people off of the guy they were attacking. And so much for happy Halloween reveling in Hollywood. It's always the booze that fuels a lot of this stuff. And there were a few drunk people involved. So there you have it. It doesn't mix. And it certainly did not mix that time around. In Oakland, they're calling for a citywide strike. You know, the Occupy movements are all different. Portland, there were 30 or so people arrested. We talked about that at the top of the show. So now in Occupy Oakland, they're promoting a general strike across the city, and they're urging other groups nationwide to do the same thing. They're talking about a march to the Port of Oakland, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Port of Oakland is the fifth busiest. They want to shut it down before the 7 o'clock night shift. And on the day of the strike, the marches are planned at 9 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m., so as many people as possible can actually get a chance to participate, so they are getting organized there. Most of the protests in Oakland have been pretty peaceful. They started October 11th. There have been about 100 arrests so far. There have been some confrontations between protesters who were throwing bottles and firecrackers. And, of course, then the police are going to use tear gas if you get to that point. But if they are, in fact, marching organized, they have an organized movement and they're talking about a strike. Ooh, boy, that could be a little bit dicey for some people. If enough people were to do it, it's like the boycotts, is what I say. You know, if enough people boycott XYZ, then they would certainly be heard. It's like Netflix. Netflix is crashing day by day. Why? Because so many people decided, you know what, you want to raise the prices on us, then you're splitting the company and all this other stuff, and you raise the prices 60%. Oh, come on, give me a break. You said you were going up a buck or $2 because they're streaming costs. What can we do? But that's not how it was presented. And so everybody's jumping off the Netflix bandwagon. I predict they're going to have, I don't know, maybe 100,000 customers by the time it's all said and done. This is our final one. The Philippines welcome one of the world's symbolic 7th billion baby on Monday. There are a lot of people cheering. Weighing 5.5 pounds, Danica May Camacho was delivered before midnight on Sunday. Lots of flashbulbs, paparazzi in a way. In the delivery room in Ella's Memorial Airport, the world's 7th billion baby. That's something to claim, isn't it? I can claim this. I will meet you on the flip side with some of the headlines that'll make you go, wow, from the world of politics.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state. M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Freeze Dry Guy customers, take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering Freeze Dry Guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy four-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Precipice of yet another week. Last couple of days, actually last day in October, and I know, I'm always so surprised. Here we are at the doorstep of November, but officially we're almost, just a little over a year away from the 2012 elections, and who knows what things will look like by the time we get to that point. I say that because, boy, the Republican side of things has taken some wild twists. Who you thought was going to be there, who you thought might throw in, didn't, like Governor Chris Christie. Jeb Bush was mentioned many, many times, although there was no way Jeb was going to do this, but a lot of people were trying to convince him. And then there's talk about vice presidents and who would be good on what ticket. The bottom line is, first you got to have the person to run against the incumbent guy, because no matter what you think of what's going on in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if you're smart, you do know that the people who ran the campaign for Barack Obama the last time around, they're no dummies. They knew how to rally the youth movement on the college campuses. They knew how to use social media to get people excited, and they pumped up hope and change. Now, I think you have a lot of people who are disillusioned that you have to bring back, or they will have to bring back, into the fold, I think it's going to be tougher to get the younger people to come out and vote. And always a key is going to be the independents. A lot of people I hear on the Democratic side of the aisle are worried about Herman Cain because of his straight shooting ways and the fact that he's a business guy, not a politician. So he can step into a bear trap and say, hey, you caught me because I'm like you. I'm just a business guy. I fought and clawed and pulled my way up from nothing. And here I am, so I don't play those political Washington games. Only, even though he's tied, for example, in the Iowa Republican poll, a key one that was done by the Des Moines Register, so basically Cain and Mitt Romney are in a dead heat, will it cost him some points, the fact that a story is buzzing about from Politico, that the presidential candidate and the former pizza guy is now the subject of a bunch of complaints of the sexual harassment variety. Never good, right? Two women saying they worked for him at the National Restaurant Association during the 90s. They were paid in the five figures to go away. So, you know, does it hurt him or not? What exactly happened? Cain is denying it. They're saying one of the women was fired and then threw that back up there like, oh, wait a second, I was harassed, which is never a good thing because that's the after effects of it. So will this cost him people who were very excited about him, like the Tea Party? A lot of Tea Party people are starting to grab on to Herman Cain, even though it was Perry for a while. I think Perry's out, and the Republican base feels pretty good about Cain. So I don't know if this takes a chunk out of him or not. Michelle Bachmann says she's not worried by her poor Iowa finish. Some people are speculating that she won't be there even by the summertime. She'll decide this is the time that she needs to jump out of this because is it worth spending this money and whatnot and to be too far down in the primaries and the caucuses. That's really the thing that'll happen in January. I think in the beginning she'll be there, and then we'll see what happens in February. And of course, then you get to March. That's where a lot of people will start to peel off for sure. But Bachmann, of course, is asked about a lot of different things, just like all the others, whether it's Iowa or whether it's what's coming up down the road. Here she specifically talks about Iowa.
I'm doing exactly what I need to do in Iowa. I'm here all across the state meeting with people multiple times every day. And so it's amazing what a difference several weeks can make in the course of a presidential campaign.
All right, and that is true. In a couple of weeks, it can really switch. That's what's happened with Cain. That's what happened with Perry before him. You know, Mitt Romney's been the establishment guy, but how long can he stand on the stage and go neck to neck with these people that keep bubbling up? Or will there be suddenly someone who appears? I doubt that suddenly someone, just because we're in the caucuses and the primaries, and I don't know that that would make sense for somebody who wanted to get the momentum really going. So I think the cast is set for who's trying to grab the nomination, and probably it's Cain, Romney, I don't know, maybe Perry does hang in there even if he gets single digits. Maybe he tries to slug it out. He has some people that would like to see him get it, so he definitely has some money behind him. In the meantime, one of the faces of this administration and somebody who left to go and help with the election this time around and did such a brilliant job of it really was a key player in getting Barack Obama the nomination the last time out and seeing him through the whole election process is David Axelrod. Axelrod talked about commitments, some clear commitments that the president has to help the middle class, and that's really what the idea is about. And then took a little bit of a swing at the Republicans, saying for the Republicans, it's all about obstruction and delay.
The president's commitments are very clear. He wants to lead the world in all these areas because that's how we're going to rebuild the middle class. That's how we're going to create jobs on which people can earn a living. Their strategy seems to be obstruction and delay, and people can't afford that. That's why the president is embarking on this. He will take every action he can take under the law on his own to improve the economy.
Yeah, the problem is, remember, small businesses, many of you are involved in your own small businesses. Many of you work for small businesses, and it's really small businesses defined as 500 or less. And with so many of the majority of people in the United States working for those kind of folks, they have to continue to get to be able to write things off, to get a certain tax breaks, if you will, or a lower tax rate, not for the individual, for the corporation, because what are the incentives to hiring new people? If we have so much of an entrepreneurial spirit in the United States, and the idea is to be able to kick new businesses off, well, for goodness sake, you have to be able to have the money to expand, whether you're hiring contracted people or not. If the money isn't there, I mean, people aren't going to do it. It's pretty obvious. So the idea is we got to get back to reality here, whether it's in Washington, well, really, Washington and then on to the states. We can't continue to operate and dance around in the red zones, because that works in football, but that does not work when it comes to money matters. If you continue to do that, your luck runs out. And where you think you're going to get this bucket of money here and this bucket of money there and that bucket of money, it doesn't happen, and you get further and further in the hole. And how is anyone expected to make these companies move forward? Some of them are, yes, but they're doing it on less because they've got to show a profit. If they don't show a profit, certainly the last thing they're going to do is add. Of course, that's simple economics. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you one thing that's going to happen here in America Tonight, a couple of quick reminders. Coming up on our next show, we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott about some of the situations going down now in the Middle East, Libya. Here we are a week and a half later. What does it look like at this point? Also, Syria, Assad warning of a west of Mid-East earthquake, Middle East earthquake. Crazy Assad needs to go, but this is the same old thing that we keep hearing. Here we are in our fourth country. Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, and now we've had Syria burning for a while now, and protesters are calling for protection, foreign protection. 3,000 people have been killed, and Assad is saying Western powers risk causing an earthquake in the Middle East if they dare to intervene in Syria. They better not do that. And it doesn't look like that's happening. Syrian forces have killed 50 civilians in the last 48 hours. Sadly, this has been a 7-month show or uprising. It's absolutely, there's criticism from a lot of different places in the West, the UN, and other people that are seeing this happen. The Arab League, they're looking at it and they can't believe it, the nonsense that's going on. But I think Assad knows, they know that he can continue to do what he's doing, because the West, at this point especially, is not going to come in there. They're not going to swoop in and help like Libya, like Egypt, or like any of the other situations where we've lent a hand. That's not going to happen in Syria. But he's warning. He's saying they're going to ratchet up the pressure, but we're different from Egypt and Tunisia and Yemen. The history is different and the politics is different, and it's the fault line. If you play with the ground, you'll cause an earthquake. He better have some firepower to back that up if he's going to throw out those words, fighting words. But at this point, with all these deadly protests, you know, how far is he willing to push it? How far is he willing to go? That probably is the biggest question of all. Stay with us. We got the weekly re-rack with Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and Salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient portable container, a $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
You have storable food, filtered water, even shelter, but do you have a way to start a fire immediately? Now you can with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. So just add water to your survival food and enjoy a hot meal in no time. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire and even starts right on top of snow or water or in any severe weather, even 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com. A must for any preparedness kit, InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy with a 30-year shelf life, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack, or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to Instafire.com, spelled I-N-S-T-A-Fire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. Instafire.
Of one sort and heading out to politics of another. You know, there's really a lot in common. What happens in the Beltway and then what happens in Hollywood, believe it or not. There is some common themes. Our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat, we love this guy. He's the ultimate storyteller. He's got a great book called Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. It never gets old. He needs to write like 4 volumes of it, though. Stephen, you need to write another 2 or 3 volumes of it because I think you have so many more stories to tell, my friend.
You know, that's how I did the first one. I just keep researching, and when it comes, it'll come. You know, but this one's pretty timeless, like you said. But
yeah.
Eventually there'll be more stuff, and I'm always constantly on the lookout for new stories. It's funny you mention that. I mean, who was here the other day? President Obama going around and seeing a bunch of Hollywood people. So definitely, there's always been that connection, even since the early days of Hollywood. People like Mary Pickford had relationships with Calvin Coolidge, so it goes way back, and I'm sure it'll continue.
Oh, I agree. Well, think about it: the money, the glamour, the fame, and the, you know, it makes You know what they say about politics makes for interesting or strange bedfellows. No doubt
right,
about that.
Right, absolutely. I just read a really good book. It was called The Men Who Would Be King, and it was about Steven Spielberg, David Geffen, and Jeffrey Katzenberg in DreamWorks. And the writer in the book, she mentioned that some of the sources that she talked to were so afraid of meeting her in Beverly Hills and in Malibu that if they met at any restaurant, they were afraid that somebody, some waiter, somebody would be a spy or would overhear it or would report back to the big shots and their career would be ruined. And so there were these clandestine meetings like 2 hours away at the Van Nuys Air Force Base, I'm sorry, the Ventura Naval Yard and things like that so that they wouldn't be overheard. And they weren't even saying bad things about these guys. I mean, the book was pretty complimentary toward the three of them, but definitely there is a lot of power and some people greatly fearing that power happening in this city.
Oh yeah, speaking of power, there was that whole clash with CBS and Chuck Lorre with CBS being, of course, a big time producer for them, and Two and a Half Men, what happened with that, and Charlie Sheen and all the fallout. And now Charlie Sheen, I guess, decided to bite back. He got his settlement, Ashton Kutcher's in place on that show. The ratings initially soared, and now they've dipped back down to earth. What's the deal on that?
Well, at first Charlie Sheen was very pleased with the opening of Two and a Half Men. He thought it was well done. He thought it was funny. And now, 4 weeks later, the ratings generally have gone down, although they were up the other night. Some people are crediting that to following Monday, Two and a Half Men following Monday Night Football. But he has said that the direction of the show is just not good at all, and he feels very bad about how they're ruining what he left behind. Now he's taking great strides not to insult Ashton Kutcher and say it's not his fault. He's doing the best he can with the character, but he's definitely making it. And I don't know if how that works out, because I think part of the settlement was he's not supposed to badmouth the show anymore, or at least he's not supposed to badmouth Chuck Lorre. And meanwhile, he's also, and I think it'll happen pretty soon, he's also got a lot of potential suitors for his new idea for his show, which looks like it would be pretty fun. I mean, Anger Management, fun movie with Jack Nicholson and Adam Sandler and Charlie Sheen in the Jack Nicholson role, and the Comedy Network seems to be one of the early favorites to get that show. The thing is, do people, what Charlie Sheen do they want? Do they want the nice, more conciliatory Charlie Sheen the last couple of months, or do they want the really bad boy Charlie Sheen? But they might want the bad boy one more, but either way, he's going to be tough to insure, so maybe it's safer to have the more calmed down one.
Who do you think won out in this whole thing? Was it kind of a split the difference, or what do you think?
I think Charlie Sheen won. I hate to say, but I mean, right now he's the highest paid actor in Hollywood because of this $25 million settlement, and he's not working. I mean, he did the comedy roast on Comedy Central, but I mean, he was able to get a new house for Denise Richards. I mean, if he gets his own show on another network, I mean, the saga's not over yet, but I'm telling you, when you go online and you see the response to Ashton, I mean, some of it's positive, but not much. I mean, he just doesn't have the popularity that Charlie Sheen did. So I think people are really, not everybody, but a lot of people are really bad-mouthing the show at this point. So it looks like Charlie Sheen is coming out ahead, but the saga continues.
What do you think Martin Sheen thinks of all this?
Well, I'm sure he's... I don't know.
I think he doesn't like it, is what I think.
Yeah.
In just a few brief conversations I've ever had with him, I mean, it's this is his son, and probably in a way saying, "Ha, that's good for him. He got the money." But I'm sure he doesn't like constantly all the attention.
Well, but if he's not doing drugs anymore and he's not doing the same wild lifestyle, or at least he's toned it down and he seems healthier, I'm sure that would make him happy.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, one last thing before you skedaddle, a big deal with West Side Story. How long has West Side Story been around?
It came out 50 years ago exactly. Ooh. In October, and it was an improbable classic movie. Do you know, that was not a hit on Broadway, and Natalie Wood, when she was in that movie, she was offered $200,000 plus 5% of the gross, or $250,000, and she took the $250,000 because she wanted to build a house with Robert Wagner, and she didn't have confidence in it. You know, that seems like such a tame movie now, but I mean, so many people were warned against the gang activities in that movie. I mean, like, for example, Elvis Presley was originally going to play the role of Tony, or at least he was up for it. And Colonel Parker, his manager, didn't want him to be involved with it. And Natalie Wood forever. I mean, unfortunately, she didn't live a very long time after that. But for the rest of her life, she regretted not taking the 5%. It would have been worth millions and millions of dollars. So West Side Story was one of those unexpected massive hits. I mean, they had all the issues of how do you make the audience believe that these gang members are walking down the street and all of a sudden they start singing. And so what they did was they filmed half the movie in New York, where they show you the overhead shots and they sort of focus in on the gang members. Then half the movie was made in L.A., and that caused some problems because they had the one scene where the two New York gangs are about to have a rumble, and I don't know if it was some prankster, but somebody put graffiti on the wall, and it said, "Go Lakers."
And this is, I think, the last time it was in New York. It's off and on again with Broadway. It comes back, and it evolves around again.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, obviously, since it's Romeo and Juliet was the basis for it, that story's been around for a long time. In fact, originally it was going to be a Jewish girl and a Christian boy, and then you know, some of the people involved with it became interested in some of the gangs going on, the gang activities in L.A., and it was going to be called East Side Story and take place in East L.A., and then most of the people involved with it were in New York, and they felt more comfortable doing a New York-based story. And then at that particular time, there were a lot of news items in the late 50s about Puerto Rican and Anglo gangs going up against each other. And so that's what laid out the basis for the story. But I think the big reason it's lasted so long is because the songs are so epic and powerful and hummable. So I think it'll keep going. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I agree with you. Always a pleasure. The ultimate storyteller, as I said, Stephen Shohead, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Kate.
We'll talk to him again next week. He comes on, each week, and it's really true. He must have these filed away in some system in his head or some place where he can recall them, because he does have amazing, amazing backstories. I got to remember that book, too, that he said he read, Men Who Would Be Kings. See the similarities? Politics, Hollywood. All right, we're back to politics. The Baz is coming up on the flip side here on ATN.